Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. But as you do, I just want to say this. Today will not be a normal Sunday preach. I have some pretty big news to share with you. But I do want to read scripture, and I want to pray, and then just share from my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your peace. Father, I pray that even now as we just talk about the future, as we talk about what we believe and discern that you are doing, I pray that this news would cause each and every one of us to cling even more closely to you, what it is that you desire to do in our lives, what it is that you desire to do in this church. God, I pray that we would hold nothing back. And I pray that if in any way we are, Lord, that you would reveal that even today. Lord, when you sent your son to live for us, die for us, and rise for us, it was not just to get a piece of us, but to bring all of us, who we are, into your family and to follow you with our whole hearts. So, Father, I pray that you would stir us up. I pray that your spirit would help me to just articulate what I believe you've been doing and the truth of your word so that we might be strengthened and that we might be unified in the mission that you have given us to proclaim your gospel where you have called us. We pray this together in Jesus' name, amen. So, as I just said, this is not gonna be a normal Sunday preaching. So if you're new, we welcome you. If you're just visiting, this isn't normally, we don't always have like big news that we share, about what's going on in the life of the church every Sunday. So just going to let that sit for a minute and just create more tension. We will be starting a series through the book of 2 Timothy over the summer. And I do think it'll be incredibly important. I think it'll be profound. I think it'll be transformational for us as a church. But today will be a little bit news, a little bit of a story, and then a bit of a charge. But before I share this news, just to add to the tension more, you're like, just give me a minute. Which for a preacher is like 10, but before I share this news, I do want to draw your attention to a very simple yet profound thing that the Apostle Paul says about himself in the very first line of this letter. And this is a letter. It's full of doctrine, it's full of theology, but it is very personal. And Paul begins this very personal letter with a straight up recognition that he is an apostle by the will of God. I just want you to underline that if you actually still own a physical Bible, like underline that. Otherwise, use your finger to whatever it is. I want you to sit with that phrase, by the will of God. Paul was convinced that what he was called to do, the ministry that he had, was all rooted in and built upon the will of God. Notice it doesn't say according to man. It doesn't say according to the will of man or the likes or dislikes of man or the opinions or ambitions of man, but by the will of God. This man, Paul, had a role to play in God's great purposes in the world. For him, that meant to be an apostle, a very unique, authoritative ambassador sent by God to preach the good news of Jesus, to plant and establish churches. And he says, it is by the will of God. But it was not only Paul that had a role to play, but also Timothy, young Timothy, to whom he was writing. and for all of us who are reading this. And before I share what I believe that means for me, I just want you to even ask for yourself, what is your role? What if you were to say this of yourself? If you were to write down, I am a blank by the will of God. In fact, I encourage you to do that. If you have paper, just write down, I am what by the will of God? Some of you might say, I'm an evangelist by the will of God. Some of you might say, I'm an encourager by the will of God. Others of you might say, I am an intercessor by the will of God. Or I'm a mother by the will of God. I'm a father by the will of God. I am a leader by the will of God. What would you write down there? And it's important that you do think about it because it adds so much weight to what it is that you do with your life. See, for Paul, this awareness of his calling drove everything that he did. For him, it was discern God's will, follow God's call. For my wife and I, 10 years ago, we believed that God called us to Los Angeles, to Hollywood in particular, to come here and to plant a church. And it has been some of the most incredible years of my entire life. When we sensed that God was calling us, we had no idea what was going to happen. We moved to this city pretty much 10 years ago and began to start prayer meetings, thinking, wow, like it'd be great if like somebody showed up. And January 2006, we started our little church services at Gardner Street Elementary in the Michael Jackson Auditorium, just off, right? just off Sunset. And it was almost as if in the first few months, we just began to see people come to Christ, people be converted. It's amazing. We began to see people gain a love for the Word of God, actually understand that the Word of God is to govern their lives. We saw people just learning what it means to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We began to see people learn what it means to actually live in authentic community, which for me, the time was, it was so miraculous because when my wife and I first told people God called us to Hollywood, people would say, well, that's dumb. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe pray for me? I don't know, something. And as the years have gone by, it's just been absolutely incredible. Some of you in this room, you came to Christ through the witness that God, by his grace, has produced in and through the people of this church and by the preaching of the gospel. And when I think about all these years, it has been absolutely amazing. It has been just like a dream come true, and it has been one of the most incredible privileges of my life to pastor in this church. When I think about all that has happened, I know, and I hope that you know, it is nothing but the grace of God. And I tell my kids, even to this day, that the house that you live in right now, the only reason you live in this house is because God called us. The reason we have a washer and dryer, the reason that we have the friends that we do, the reason that we have what we have is because God has a purpose for us and he calls us. And we believe, my wife and I believe, that God is calling us again. My wife always tells me that I drag everything out. So I'm just going to say it, and then I want to share the story behind it because it's important to me and hope that it would be important to you. My wife and I believe that God is calling us to London to minister and to see a church planted as a part of the Reality family of churches. Oh my gosh. I love you guys so much. Wow. You guys are, dang it. That means so much. Just want to say that. As you can imagine, this has not been easy. I love this church so much. I love you guys so much. It's been one of the hardest decisions for us to make. And right now, for some of you, it might be a little shocking. Maybe you just started clapping. You're like, I don't know why I'm clapping. Just go with it. But to some of you that know my wife and I and know our experiences, you might not be shocked. And many of you actually maybe don't know a little bit of the backstory for me, but I just want to take a few minutes to share it. In 1999, I became a Christian and felt God call me to go to Bible college because I was in the San Francisco Bay Area and I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And it's like, okay, Bible college sounds great. So I went. And right when I joined, I heard a lecture from a pastor who had just returned from planting and establishing a church in London in the 90s. He was there for about, I can't remember how many years, established it. He came back to the States and he gave this lecture and his heart for urban church planting just resonated with me, a burden that would stay with me to this very day. So I approached him immediately after, part fanboy, I was just like, oh, I like church planting too. And when I approached him after the lecture to meet him and share my own heart for cities, he, out of the blue, offered to buy me a plane ticket to London. Just said, hey, he was heading back on a trip to check in on the church as well as other churches in the UK that were part of his network of churches, and he thought that it would be good for me to go with him. And the trip was, it was in January of the year 2000. I don't know what some of you were doing in 2000. Some of you were like five. It's actually true. But the trip was amazing. I got to know this pastor personally, and he essentially opened the door for me to work at his church down in Orange County where I was ordained. And in 2003, there was the possibility of us planting a church in London in that current network. And my wife and I prayed a lot, and we even went on a trip over there, and we met with people and talked to people about it. But shortly thereafter, we just sensed that God was closing the door for us. And that year, three significant things happened. My father died, my wife got pregnant with our first and oldest daughter, and third, I began to talk with Pastor Britt Merrick about planning a church with reality. Pastor Britt, who many of you know, he was just preparing to launch in that year Reality Carpinteria up near Santa Barbara, the first of what would be the Reality family of churches. And through a lot of prayer, we just sensed that God was calling us to be a part of reality. And when Britt and I began to talk and pray, and he asked me, well, where are you sensing that maybe God's calling you to plant? At this point, I thought, well, maybe it's San Francisco. And he responded immediately to me by saying, what about LA? I said, I hate LA. And and he's like, well, you need to pray. I was like, okay, I'll pray. So we went back, and for 8 months, we began to pray, and God just completely changed our hearts. This is around 2004, and we started taking trips up to LA, and we just fell in love with the city and really captured just a heart for the city and for the lost there. And I came back to Britt those 8 months later and just said, yes, I think God is in this. And so we moved up to Carpinteria and spent a year there. And by that wonderful church family, through a lot of prayer, we were sent out. And that was 10 years ago, and we began prayer meetings and launched this church in January of 2006. London continued to be on my heart and others, even during the early years of our church and several years into our existence. We actually sent out a wonderful couple, Mark and Lizzie Dyrud. We sent them out to London. We felt God calling us to take a step of faith and see if we were able to plant there. Some of you went on some of those trips. We did prayer tours, trips over there in support of this. And while we were unable to experience viability and sustainability with that particular expression, with that plant, Mark and Lizzie were faithful to love the people that God brought into their lives. And they've since, many of you know this, they've since returned to the States. But during those years and even after, God continued to lay this burden on my heart and others and just sense that there was something more to the story, So that kind of brings me to the past year. At the beginning of the year, I was feeling very stirred up. It was actually like a great year. And, you know, people would be like, what's your 5-year plan? What's your this? And everything just kind of seemed to be laid out. But I was really challenged not to just assume that things were going to go the way that I just thought they would go, and just really praying and asking God, well, God, what would you have me do? What does faithfulness look like for me? It's a question all of you have to ask in your life. What would faithfulness look like for me? What desires do you want to give me? What gifts have you given me? How can they be used for your kingdom? And so through that, I mean, we were pretty comfortable for a while. That's kind of like stirring it up, like, oh, God, what are you doing? There was this one day my wife was going out for coffee with a friend over in Silver Lake, and they were there just getting coffee. And as they were, a few other women from Reality LA walked in. And my wife's friend just made some little joke like, wow, reality's taken over Silver Lake or something like that. And my wife said, in that moment, it was like I just heard these words in my heart. Your work is done here. Now, my wife's love language is security. So you can imagine just how miserable her life is being married to me. But she said that, like, I don't know what God's doing. We just need to pray. And so we continued to keep just pressing on with, you know, just in all the endeavors that God has given us here, but just praying and praying. And then it became more and more intense in the fall season. And it came to a point where my wife and I had to just really commit. Okay, London was just on my mind, like, just every single day. Like, God, what are you doing? Different emails, conversations, relationships over there would just come up, and we just committed in that time, saying, okay, this is crazy. If God is calling us to do this, the implications are huge for our family, for my children. The implications are huge for our church family. And so in that moment, we knew we just had to commit. We're just going to pray. We're going to try to pray through this every single day. And so we did. And it was actually over Christmas break that I experienced personally a turning point. Christmas time in LA, as you know, is wonderful because so many people leave and the freeways are like open, and it's actually kind of awesome. People always go away for the holidays. I'm like, no, stay here. It's great. They have snow at the Grove and it's fine. But during that time, our staff, it's not as hectic, so we have some extra time to really like just pray and seek God. And I was just like, God, you need to speak to me because I'm just feeling so like, just this is on my mind. People are, you know, praying for us. I know that. And I started getting all these text messages from leaders that I don't even talk to that much. Like, just, hey, just sensing that maybe God's calling you to step into a new adventure. Like another person, hey, just feel like God's calling you to take a step of faith. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, whatever. And so I'm just praying and like journaling and reading books and just talking, you know. That's when we started to talk a little bit about it to my friends. But there was a turning point in the first week of January for me. I was in my little office area, and I was actually getting ready to for our Job series at the beginning of the year, and I was typing, and I got super frustrated, and I slammed my laptop, which is like typical pastor sermon prep. It's all really is. You like type up a bunch of stuff, close your computer, cry out to God, and hope that he moves. That's like pastoral sermon prep. So I'm just like, I'm just close the computer. I'm like, oh, just I need something to distract me for a minute. And there was this book on my desk. It was a book on pastoring that one of my friends had told me to buy like months earlier, written by a, you know, an older, wise pastor who, you know, pastored many churches. And my friend said, you got to read this book. And I was like, totally ordered it, never read it. Just put it on my shelf. And for whatever reason, that day I just picked up the book in the midst of all this like wrestling and praying and stirring. And I open up to the table of contents, and there's a chapter called Leaving. I was like, oh, shoot. So I turned to the chapter, and the chapter was a letter that this pastor had written the very first church that he ever left. And it said, my dear church family, I have pastored you now for 9 years. And that week for me was the 9-year anniversary of when Lindsay and I moved here to start Reality LA. So I began to cry. It's a common theme in my story. Later on in that paragraph, said, I have 3 children under the age of 12, and now is the time to take a step of faith. So at this point, I'm losing it. And then I get to the end of the chapter, and he quotes this scripture from the Word of God. It's from Acts chapter 20, and it's where the Apostle Paul, who had spent years with the Ephesian leaders, a church in Ephesus, he'd spent years with these pastors and leaders, and he's giving this going away speech, and it's super drama, and like everybody's crying on the beach, and he's about to get in his ship, and it says there in Acts 20, 32, he says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And in that moment, I just knew that God was calling us to take this step of faith. But also in that moment, I knew that I needed the counsel and confirmation of all the leaders in my life. So many of us, we just, you know, kind of feel like we hear something and then we just run with it without ever acknowledging what God's doing in the leaders and the community around us. And so I just wanted to commit myself to that process. And so I first told Pastor Britt, I told Pastor Dave Lomas from Reality San Francisco and the other church planners as well. And we just continue to pray and talk. And we just decided we needed to set up a day. This is a big deal. This would be me stepping out in faith. This would be somebody else leading this church in that way. And so one day, even Pastor Dave flew down from San Francisco, and me and Pastor Britt and him, we got together and just for a day and a half, just prayed, talked, took counsel. And by the end of it, just sensed like, wow, this is crazy, but we just think God is in this. We think that God is doing this. And once we had that peace, I went home that night, and I knew the first person I needed to tell was Pastor Jeremy Treat. And I knew this because for a very long time, not only just over the years, has he just grown to be just such a dear friend to me, but I've just had the strongest sense and just knowing that if God were ever to call me, that he is the guy, that he is the man that would take my role as pastor for preaching and vision. He didn't know that yet, but I just knew. And when I think, I don't know what you think of when you think of pastors, but what I look for in pastors, unfortunately, maybe is not a lot of the things that you know people talk about in our day and age, but I think for us as a church and for me, when I think of Jeremy, I think of character, integrity, fierce biblical faithfulness, a preacher of the word, his incredible gift for vision, which many of you have not actually seen him able to really exercise that gift. In fact, during the season when I was wrestling, I felt like I just wasn't able to see vision for the future of Reality LA. That was part of me praying and wrestling. And I saw in him just this vision that God was giving him. And I was really moved by it. This man, Jeremy, he loves the church. He loves the lost. Most of all, he loves Christ. He's one of those guys who, when we get a request in, if there's like a funeral that needs to be done in our church, he's the first to jump at it and take it and say, oh, I want to do that. He's just a pastor and he has my utmost respect. And I trust him so much. And so I knew I needed to tell him, and I wanted to meet up with him, but he was sick. And I was like, oh, well, can you FaceTime? And he's like, I don't want to FaceTime. FaceTime's weird. And but I'm like, I have to FaceTime. So we like FaceTime, and he's sick, and he's in bed. It's just super awkward, but I'm like, anyway. I guess you didn't need to know that, but whatever. So I just shared with him, you know, all that God was doing in my heart, and you know, his response was beautiful, and that began that day, I knew, a process. I had no timeline, but I would tell each one of the pastors and the pastoral residents individually and give them time and space to pray and process one by one. Because I needed to know not only that they confirmed what I sensed God was calling me to do, but that they felt called to continue here and committed to the mission that God has given to this church. During that process, I was going through my own, just like, oh my gosh, like, what are we doing? And God was so kind in that season just to speak to us. And just two stories I just want to share just personally. Like, it was just so kind of God to do this. One day, I needed to buy a devotional for my daughter, my oldest daughter. So I go on Amazon and I type in Christian preteen devotional, which is just weird. And there are hundreds. And so I find one I like. And I order it, it's like cute, like leather bound. And so we order it and we start going through it one devotion a day. And one night my wife is going through the devotional with Lily. And randomly she flicks to the back page of that devotional and there's a picture of London. And she's like, what in the world? It turns out that of all the devotionals I could have bought, I bought the devotional written by a woman who also wrote a 4-part fictional book series about a young Christian girl from the West Coast who needs to move to London and learn how to live out her faith. just crazy. I went to a conference in New York City, and at this time I was just like, we were all the pastors were just praying through it, and I just had shared the news with them, and we're all just like wrestling, you know, with this. And so at this conference, and I was at this table, it was like a round table with these other pastors, and I was there with Pastor Al from Boston. And there was this one guy who was so annoying. It was this pastor that was so annoying from another state, and he was just there and just doing his thing. And I was like, oh man. And then the pastor leading the conference said, okay, I want you to sit down and I want you to share your prayer request, what God's doing in your life. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this right now. This is crazy. And I'm like, I knew I had to share something. So I said, I need prayer for courage. And the super annoying guy across the table said, I knew it. I knew God wanted you to ask for prayer for courage. And I was like, of course you did. And I'm looking over at Al and we're like, yeah, right. So anyway, we bow our heads and they start praying over us. And then I'm starting to feel really humbled. And I'm like, dang it. You know, like I need to repent, like not the right attitude. And they're praying over me and it's really sweet. But all of a sudden in the middle of the prayer, that guy stops, and the annoying guy, and says, Tim, I think the Spirit of God is saying that the decision that is before you is a huge decision for your family and for your church, and that there may be a lot of fear, but you do not need to fear, because the decision you are about to make is going to be your finest hour as a father. It's going to show your kids what you really live for, and what your life is really all about, and what the kingdom of God is all about. And you don't need to fear. God is going to be with you every step of the way. So at this point, I'm crying, of course, again. And then Pastor Al, whose hand was on me, he does like one of those one eye open, kind of like sneaky glances that some of you do in prayer. And he looks over at me. He's like, dude, like God's just working. God's just been so kind to speak to us. And through the process, all the pastors came back, and not only were they affirming that God was doing this with me, but they said, God's totally called us to this, and we just believe that God's hand is on this church, and we are all in, and we're just totally committed to all that lies here for us, and we believe God's going to give us vision for the future. And at that time, we started bringing in the other reality pastors, especially Pastor Britt, who's the founding pastor of this movement, to prayerfully consider what that would look like and what the timeline would be. And during this time, I then began to tell our board of directors one by one. And then I told our key leaders one by one. And then I had this awful idea that I should tell our entire staff one by one. And there's like 30, so that took a while. And it was just a process that just finished actually just a few weeks back. And so we've come to this point where we just see God's hand in this. So what's the timeline? None of this is happening overnight. I'm going to be with you for 3 more months. What we believe to be a good time for a faithful transition, and we care so much about that. And then come October, I will be moving with my family to Carpinteria. For several months, Reality Carpinteria was the church that sent us out 10 years ago, and I want to spend time with the people and the leadership there and work on some reality stuff and just prepare for the big step overseas. We believe God has given us a vision for London and is opening a door, and we have a desire that once we arrive there to prayerfully cultivate a team that reflects the international diversity of that city. I don't even think I'm the best person for that, but just know that God's calling us to it. We also, this sounds crazy, but we also have a burden for the great cities of Europe, in particular, Western Europe. I don't know how often you pray for or think about those cities, but from the perspective of the gospel, Europe is a continent with such great need for the gospel. And it's just on my mind and my heart all the time. Some of you are actually, a few of you are actually from parts of Europe, and you've come to Los Angeles, as LA is such an international city, there's a lot of back and forth there, and we believe God's given us a burden to somehow, some way participate in helping churches to be planted there. I have no idea what that's going to look like. These are just desires we're committing to prayer. And this will all be a process. And it's going to involve, as it has for me, all kinds of emotions for you and for me, but a process in which we believe God is going to work. Some of you may be sad. Some of you may be disappointed. Some of you may be really excited. And when you meet me, you can just pretend to be disappointed for a second and then get excited. But we believe that I would not be sent, and this church would not be sending if we didn't believe that the church wasn't in good hands. And even our own process has shown how much God is in this and how much unity there is, not only in affirming my call to step out, but even Pastor Jeremy's call to fulfill this position. So both for me and the leadership, like, we just see God's hand in this. And right now, I actually want to invite up Pastor Jeremy to talk about his heart and his process. Jeremy, I love you so much.
I love you so much.
Love you. I want to first just say how thankful I am for Tim. I just praise God for the incredible work that he has done through Tim Chaddock here. And really for me personally, Tim has become a really close friend. I love you, support you. I couldn't be more excited for you. And I want you all to know just how incredible Tim has even been through this process. I mean, Tim is such a godly man of integrity. I mean, what you see up here is what you get with Tim. He's not a different person. He loves the Lord. He loves his wife and his children. He loves this church. And I've seen that more in this season of transition than I ever have, of his love for the church and wanting to do this really well. And I hope that you're all seeing what's happening in this, that Tim has been standing at the pulpit for the last 10 years, calling people to follow Jesus without abandon and to step out in faith in doing that. And right now, Tim's doing exactly what he's been calling us to do. He's practicing what he's been preaching. We praise God for that. When Tim first told me this news, as he said, our very personal FaceTime conversation, while I was laying in bed, which is totally awkward. When he told me that, I was shocked, but I wasn't necessarily surprised. And in getting to know Tim over the years, I know that Tim's really an initiator. He's a pioneer, and I can see that in him. And so when he told me this news, I responded. I had a threefold response to him. You see, that's what happens when two preachers talk to each other. He makes 3 points to me. I make 3 points to him. His always start with the same letter. That's just kind of how it works. And so I told him, I had a threefold response to him. And I said, first of all, I said, as a friend, I'm excited for you. I see God's hand in this. I affirm this calling. And I was just pumped for him as a friend, for him to go and be a church planter in London. I said that as a member of the church. Secondly, I'm confident that the church is going to be okay. I really believe that Reality LA has been God's work. And so much of it has been through Tim Chaddock, but it's really been God's work through him. And so I'm confident that the church is going to be okay through this. And third, I said personally for me, I said, if God's calling you to London, he's going to have to equally call me to this position in LA. And I said, I don't want to just assume or me be kind of a default guy in this, that I want to go and seek the Lord and see what he would have for us. And so my wife, Tiffany, and I set out on a process from that day forward of just seeking the Lord's face, saying, God, what would you have for us? Here we are. And we prayed every day. We had conversations constantly. And there's so many stories that I could tell you about through that, of looking back, of just seeing how God has worked. But really what it came down to for us was pretty simple. We really believe with all our hearts that God is in this. That God is in this. And we believe that for Tim. I mean, how great is it going to be that we're getting to send Tim Chaddock off to plant a church in London? It's gonna be incredible to send him off, to pray for him, to do prayer tours over there, to go and visit him, to have him come back and preach and update us on what God's doing there. That I just see God's hand in this throughout. My wife and I, as we prayed, we really saw for us that God's in it as well, and that he's been preparing us for this. Even the way that we got here in LA, I mean, it's too long of a story for me to tell you right now, but it's incredible how we ended up here. It wasn't like God just opened a door. It was like he opened the door and like pushed us through it. And here we are. When we got to LA, we didn't come here because we loved the city. We came because we felt called, and we have quickly grown to love this city. We just see God's hand throughout. And there's a lot of stories that have shown that. I'll tell you just a couple. When Tim mentioned earlier that he had said that he just didn't feel like he had a clear understanding of God's vision for the future of Reality LA, when he said that, it was amazing because I feel like over the last 6 months or a year that God has just been flooding me with vision for the church. And I've honestly been trying to hold it back because I didn't want to step on Tim's toes. And now I feel like seeing how God is just bringing together so many different pieces in this. It's not just about Tim, it's not just about me, about how God is raising people up and our staff is healthier than ever, and just how God has been working in incredible ways for that. In January, we had a staff retreat, and when we went on the staff retreat, Tim felt really compelled to tell the story of Reality LA, just our history. We had several people who we've hired in the last couple of years who just don't really know the story of the church. And so Tim did a whole thing where he did a timeline and kind of explained when different people came on, told the story of the church. And I really felt compelled after that to do something talking about, okay, what's God going to do with us in the future? I just felt compelled by the Spirit, told Tim that, to do that and say, what's God's vision for us as a church moving forward based off of how much confidence we have looking back? And so I literally went up there before our staff having no idea about any of this and said, imagine Reality LA in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. What is God gonna do through our church? And how is he gonna use us in what he is doing in LA? And I just cast this vision for our church that Jesus is leading the way and he reigns over his church through his word and his Spirit, and his mission in LA is going to move forward. I literally had people come up to me after they found out about all this and said, you knew back then, didn't you? And I said, I promise, I did not know. It's just the Spirit just leading us collectively through that. And after I preached that to our staff, I sent them all out to pray. And every year we seek the Lord, we try and find out what God is doing in this city, in our church, so that we can be intentional about that and pray about that. And so oftentimes we try to see if there's one thing that God wants us to focus on throughout the year. 1 year it was health, another year it was faith. And I sent the staff off and I said, go take half an hour and just pray. Seek the Lord on behalf of our church. God, what would you have for us as a church this year? And everyone went out, they gathered back around. I said, okay, no pressure. We don't need to like feel like we need to force a word from the Lord or anything like that. But what did God put on your hearts through that? And this unanimous theme emerged from all of our staff that God wanted us to focus on unity. And unity was this word and this theme that he had given for us as a church for this year. And how gracious is it of God just to be preparing us, shepherding us up to this point even, to see how he's gonna use this, even this, to unite us around his mission that's unchanging. So with all that and seeing how God has just worked in so many different ways, my wife and I couldn't feel more called than we do to this city and to this church, and for me, to this position that I feel like God has called me to. So we're all in with this. We believe that God is in this. And we really believe that this is, and I speak on behalf of the pastors here, that this is a pivotal moment for us as a church. I mean, if you think back and look at our history, that here we are in the middle of LA just preaching the gospel, and God has just grown us. Clearly, his favor has been upon us as a church. And we've come to a point where it would be easy to kind of step back and say, okay, we can be comfortable now. Let's just fortify the walls, maintain what we've done in the past, keep people happy. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to exist as a church just to kind of maintain what we've done or hold on to that. If we're not seeing people come to know the Lord, let's just close the doors. We want to see God building, even moving forward. And I know for me that I have no intentions of trying to fill Tim's shoes. We all know I definitely couldn't fit into his jeans. But God is calling us forward through this. And we want to be clear through this that I believe God is using this season for us as a time to reclaim the urgency of the mission. For us not to just get comfortable where we are. I want to remind you all that we are surrounded by people who don't know Jesus, whose lives are broken, and who are longing exactly what we are offering in the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is going to be a season. It's going to be a transition. Yeah, that's something for us to unite around through this. And this is going to be a season where things are going to get shaken up a little bit. But my prayer constantly throughout this is that in the midst of that, that we all would be able to recommit, but not to a man, but to a mission. That Jesus has a mission in LA, and he's done an incredible work through Reality LA these last 10 years, but I believe that he's not done with us as a church, and he's gonna use us for his purposes in this city. When we've been talking about this at home, my kids are young enough that we've just been talking about it openly around the house, and that we're not really too worried about them. They don't really know the difference between Tim going to London and Tim going to Disneyland. And so we just kind of talk about it, but a couple weeks ago, I was out of town, and my daughter kind of was putting two and two together, and she went to my wife and said, "Is Phoebe really going to move to London?" And Phoebe is Tim's middle daughter, and her and my five-year-old daughter have become really close friends. And Ashlyn had kind of put two and two together and figured it out. And so Tiff had a conversation with her. And when I came back, my daughter came up to me and said, "Daddy, is Phoebe really moving to London?" And I said, "Yeah. Did mommy talk to you about that?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, tell me why. Tell me why they're moving." And she said, "Well, there's people in London who don't love Jesus. And so Tim and his family are going to go there and preach the Bible to them so they can learn to love Jesus." And I said, "That's right." And then her response to me was, "Well, if there's people in London who don't love Jesus, then maybe we should go too." So I said to her, "Well, there's people in Los Angeles who don't love Jesus either." And she said, "Okay, well, maybe we should stay then." I said, "Good, thank you for your approval on this situation. I'm glad we can move forward now." But I really believe that just as God is calling Tim and Lindsay to London, that he is calling us, and not just me and my family, but us as a church, deeper into Los Angeles. Tim's giving us an example of stepping out in faith, but that's something that should motivate all of us to do the same. And that doesn't necessarily mean moving to an international city, but recognizing what God has for us here and that he is at work here as well. We really see God's hand in this, and we want to be faithful with what he has entrusted us to. And for me, I've gone from a process of being shocked to being at peace, to even get excited for seeing what God is doing. If God is in this, then we don't need to be afraid. If God is in this, which we really believe he is, then we don't need to be motivated by fear, but we need to move forward by faith. So that's a bit of my process that I've been going through as my wife and I have sought the Lord. But we're all gonna have a process to go through. This is major news that you've all just heard. And we want to encourage you over the next weeks throughout this summer to just go through the process that you need to go through for this. We want to create an environment in the midst of that where grieving and excitement can coexist. See, this is hard. We need to grieve a loss in the midst of this. I don't want to minimize that at all. I'm losing a dear friend. We're losing a pastor who's done incredible things in this church. We don't want to minimize that at all. This is major. And we want to be able to allow the room for people to grieve that. But also, as people see God's hand in it, they sense God's peace through that and even starting to get excited about what God is doing and how he's using this even for his mission in Los Angeles. And we want people to be able to grieve and be excited and to be both of those, for both of those to be okay in the same room. We don't want people who are still grieving to be frustrated with those people who are excited because they don't care enough about the past. We don't want people who are excited to be frustrated with people who are grieving because they're not getting over it, right? In the midst of this, we want to be able to honor the past and build for the future. And we don't honor the past by living in it. We want to move forward based off of that. The past is a better foundation than it is an anchor. And we're excited to see how God is going to propel us forward through this. So that's the kind of environment that we want to create. And we want to do that this summer. We want to be very deliberate about the way that we do that. And we even want to cast vision for what it looks like for us in these 12 weeks. That our goal for this transition is that the church would be strengthened and unified. The goal isn't that we would maintain or that we would survive or that we would keep people from leaving. That's not the goal. The goal is that God would unify us and strengthen us as a church through this. And so the way that we want to do that is we're going to preach through 2 Timothy throughout the rest of the summer. Tim and I are going to go back and forth on preaching those sermons. But as Tim mentioned earlier, 2 Timothy is such a great book to guide us through this. It's a very personal letter. It's also very transitional. Paul is talking to Timothy about his mother and his grandmother and how they passed on the faith to them and how he has been entrusted with something and he's called to teach the younger men about that. Paul's talking about his ancestors. You get the feel reading through this that you're a part of something bigger than just us. And so it's personal, it's transitional, and it's foundational. We want to be able to remind the church in the midst of this transition that our foundation is not changing, that Jesus is our foundation, and nothing is changing about that. And so you have passages in 2 Timothy that are just so foundational, telling us, remember Jesus, preach the word. All scripture is breathed out by God. Not only are we going to go through 2 Timothy, but we just want to talk about this transition every week. We want to be completely forthright. We have nothing to hide. We believe that God is fully in this, and we want to continue to share that story with you, to share vision with you, just to talk and try and shepherd the church through that every week. And lastly, we want to pray, and we want to call you to pray. We know that this brings up a bunch of different emotions, and you've got a whole process, and you might even be looking for, what do I do? Pray. Would you join us in praying that God would work through this time for his mission and for his glory? We want to pray with desperation because we desperately need God to work through this. We need the Spirit to unify us. We need the Spirit to strengthen us and to lead us. But we also want to pray with confidence. If God is for us, who can be against us? And God has clearly put his favor on our church, and we believe that God is in this. And so we want to call to you and ask you to pray. Every week before church, before first service at 8 o'clock in the library, we're going to ask people just to come and pray. And let's just pray that God would work incredibly through this transition, that he would do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. So from 8 to 8:30 every week in the library, we're just going to be praying there. But we would encourage you to be praying as community groups. As you pray to the Lord as an individual, would you just cry out that he would work in our church through this? We believe that God is in this. We believe that he has entrusted us with something great. And that's going to be a good thing for Tim in London, and it's going to be a good thing for us in Los Angeles. And we pray that God would get all the glory for it.
You know, we're not alone in this. We're also a part of a church family, and that's been amazing to pray and process with that. And many of you guys know Pastor Britt Merrick. Many of you have prayed for him and his family over the years. And of course, not only is he the founder of this Reality Family of Churches, but he's also one of my dearest friends. And he's actually here today, and I want to have him come up and share a few words with us. And if you haven't seen him lately, he's grown this like amazing beard. We call it the wisdom beard. Oh my gosh, I love you so much. I love you so much.
Good to see you guys again. It's been a little while. This is a dangerous thing to have three fiery preachers on stage at the same time. This is highly dangerous. Could be combustible. I'm here to kind of bring the perspective and I hope the assurance of the family, because Reality LA is a part of a broader family, the Reality family of churches. And so I want you to know how we view this. I want you to know that we are all together on this, in this. One of the really cool things that I get to do, that I have the privilege of doing as the founder of Reality, is sitting with different leaders, endeavoring to listen to the Holy Spirit together. It's one of my favorite things in the world, just trying to discern how the Spirit is leading for decisions like this. And that's how we do it as Reality. That's how we do it. We believe that the church belongs to Jesus Christ, that the church is His and the mission is His. And so engaging in that, we want to discern what the Spirit of Christ is saying and obey that. That's the way that we do it. And we take our cues from Scripture here, right? There's a lot of ways in which we see the Spirit leading the church in mission in Scripture. One of my favorite little vignettes is from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. We have these verses on the screen. It's talking here about Paul, Luke, Silas, and Timothy. They're on a little mission trip together. And it says in verse 6, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Note that phrase. That's a profound phrase. To speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Make note of that. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. That's a profound little section of Scripture there. It's kind of ethereal. It's a little bit mysterious. We have the Holy Spirit saying, no, not there. And then we have a vision and then a conclusion that the Spirit is calling us to go there. We're not told exactly what that looked like. Don't you wish that we had that little detail? What do you mean the Spirit said no? How did that sound? We're not given those little details, but there are a few things that are really clear about the text. And here's what is clear about the text. Paul, Luke, Silas, and Timothy together, they didn't get to make this stuff up. They weren't making it up. It wasn't about what they wanted to do. It wasn't about their plans. It wasn't about their agenda. It wasn't what would fit in with their life or their family. They didn't get to make it up. They had some ideas. Paul really wanted to go to Asia. And then when that was a no, he thought, well, I want to go to Bithynia. You got a no and a no, and then a prophetic vision, and then a call. And I'm here to tell you today that these men and the leadership of this church are not making this stuff up. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. What we see in the text is that the call on Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke was to obey. And that's what I believe Tim and Lindsay are doing in this. They have the same call of the Holy Spirit and they're obeying. That's what Jeremy and Tiffany and their family are doing in this. The same call of the Holy Spirit and they're obeying. And that is the call on us. Notice the text, it was a plural thing. Right? It was us, we, they, them. It wasn't just about Paul. It wasn't just Luke who was writing. It was them together discerning the leading of the Holy Spirit in community and obeying in community. And that's what we need to be doing. That's what's going on here. And I'm here to kind of lend that outside voice of someone who's been involved in the process for several months now to say, I believe that we have the same leading of the Holy Spirit. And that we together are being called to obey Christ in this time. And it's a we thing. It's the Reality family thing. We're all in it together. We up in Carpinteria and Santa Barbara and Ventura, our church is there in San Francisco and Stockton and Boston. We are all feeling called to London. We're all feeling called to what God wants to do in Western Europe. We're going to do this together. And we are all feeling called, as we always have, to Reality LA. We're one family. We're in it together. We're believing that this is a fresh season of God's mission for you, for this church. So we're all in. We believe this is God, and You know, I've been around the block, been a part of 10 church plants or so in the last 10 years, seven of them within the Reality family of church. And I've heard a lot of no's, a lot of not theirs, and had a few visions and heard a few calls. And this really feels and sounds like the call of God. I'll tell you what else I believe is the call of God. Pastor Jeremy Treat, his wife Tiffany, and their family. Jeremy stepping into this role at this time. I'm here to testify that this is not a matter of convenience. This is not a contingency plan. I believe that Jeremy stepping into the role of pastor for preaching and vision is Christ's kind provision for this church at this time. And as much as we celebrate Tim and Lindsay obeying the call, I think we should celebrate Jeremy and Tiffany obeying the call, right? And that's a big deal for us as a family. It's kind of the first time that we've done a succession on this scale. And so we were nervous about it as a leadership within the Reality family of churches. And we've really had to pray it through. And we have really come to the conclusion that this is what God is doing. We have full confidence in that. And that it's good. And that it's good. And you know, God is going to do an amazing thing in London. I believe that. And in Western Europe, should the Lord tarry, we're gonna see some cool stuff, and we're all gonna get to be a part of it. We're gonna get to pray into it. We're gonna get to give to it. Many of us will go over there on prayer tours, and we're all gonna be a part of it. God is gonna do amazing work. But let me tell you, and don't forget this, God is still going to do amazing things in the city of Los Angeles through you, Reality Los Angeles. God is not by any means of the imagination finish with this church. I believe that the best days for Reality LA are yet to come. That the most fruit is yet to be seen. That the greatest reach, the most faithful endeavor of obeying Christ in mission, those days are still ahead. You guys are still on mission. Just as Tim has had to obey and Jeremy has to obey, here's my call to you guys as a church. You have to obey at this time. It's not a them thing. It's not a Tim thing. If you ever thought that Reality LA was about Tim Chaddick, you were sorely mistaken. If you think now that Reality LA is about Jeremy Treat, you are badly mistaken. And if you thought somehow that it's been about you, you were sadly mistaken. It has always been about Jesus. The church has always been about Jesus. It was then, it is now, and it will be in the days to come because Jesus is a faithful one. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the call for us right now is to rally, church. And it's to rally around to and for Jesus. He's our senior pastor. He's a chief shepherd over the church. It's his church. Now is the time to rally to, for, and around Jesus. And the call for each one of us in this is to embrace and bless this season of transition. Embrace it and bless it. This is a fresh expression of God's calling and mission on Reality LA. And so be all about it. We want to give you permission to feel what you got to feel. We've felt it all. I'm deeply sad that one of my best friends in the world is moving across a big ocean. I'm also deeply excited about the days to come for here and for there. And as Pastor Jeremy said, we want to have a culture where grieving and excitement can coexist and God can walk us through these processes. So listen, brothers and sisters whom I love, feel what you need to feel. But beyond that, endeavor to be faithful to Jesus at this moment in history. In some ways, this is about you because you are the church. And the call is for you to be faithful by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life. And so you got to answer the same question. We've heard the story, how Tim and Lindsay responded to the leading of the Holy Spirit, how they discerned that. Jeremy responding with Tiffany and discerning that. This is your moment to discern, to respond, to rally, and to be faithful by God's grace. The best days are yet to come, here and there. Amen? So I'm going to pray that for you guys right now. I'm going to pray for Jeremy and Tim as well. Lord, thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done here by grace and for your own glory. And I pray for these dear brothers and sisters before me now. I just ask that you would enable them by grace through the work of the Holy Spirit these days to be strong, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that nothing they do in the Lord will be in vain. Pray that you would lead them in mission at this time. Pray that you would shepherd us, Lord, through our grief, through our excitement, through our fears, through our needs for security, through our hopes and our dreams. You would shepherd us and just help us to be faithful to you as Reality LA in this season, Lord. Thank you, God, that's what you want to do. I just pray blessings over these brothers and sisters here. And pray for Pastor Jeremy and his wife Tiffany and their family. God, thank you for their obedience. We receive them as a gift to the Reality family, as a gift to Reality LA, as a wonderful asset in your kingdom. We ask that you would bless them, Lord. We ask that you would keep them from the schemes of the enemy and the silliness of the flesh, and that you would, by the work of your Holy Spirit, lead them into faithful, fruitful mission for you. Pray that there'd be plenty of times of rest and peace in you with Tiffany and the kids, Lord, and wonderful time with the church here. And we just ask for an anointing commensurate with a calling. That you would anoint them powerfully to walk in this season, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do in and through them. And for Tim and Lindsay and the girls, Lord, we thank you for the gift that they have been and are to all of our lives. And we rejoice over what you're going to do. We say yes and amen, Lord. It's clearly a work of you. We say yes and amen. Thank you that he's not making it up, that we're not making it up, that we get to obey you together. We just pray that the next 10 years of the Chaddocks' lives would be even more wonderful than the first, if that were possible, and that you would do great and mighty things for your own glory through them, God. We ask that you'd bless them and keep them. That, Lord, you'd cause your face to shine upon them, that you'd be gracious to them and lift your countenance upon them and give them peace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you.
Just want to share for a few more minutes and then want us to just respond in some prayer and worship. This is so bittersweet, I know, for my wife and I, because we have so much love and affection for you, and that will always be the case. And I just want to say, as a church, I am so proud of you. Just so proud of you. Through all the craziness of what it means to follow Jesus in this city, you've stayed faithful to the gospel, obedient to God's word, yielded to the Spirit, and the fruit of this has just been astounding, and I'm beyond grateful to have experienced it together. And that's what this has been. It's been like life together. This has been, for me, this whole decade's been a partnership. As a pastor, I've been able to speak into your lives, and I've tried to lead and provide guidance and counsel. I've sat in counseling rooms with some of you. I've officiated some of your weddings, prayed for some of you, perhaps debated with more than a few of you. But hopefully, my wife and I have just tried to love with the love of Christ. But you've also have blessed me, and you've blessed my wife and my kids, and you've spoken into me and my family's life from the earliest days even till now, and you've loved me with the love of Christ. In many ways, this will continue. I'm committed to this transition and also to the whole family of churches beyond this transition. And even though there is and will be grief and loss, I know that's how it's been for me, I want you to know that we're not just acquaintances. You know, sometimes you like switch jobs and you're like, oh yeah, we'll stay in touch, but it like never really happens. It's all sentiment. But I'm like, I refuse to be just Facebook friends. Like, I refuse that. Like, we're bound together by this shared mission and this shared family. I mean, Paul, who was far away, just a couple scriptures that were on my heart this morning, to a church far away in 1 Thessalonians 2, he said, having so fond of an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. And in 2 Timothy, the book we're gonna look at over this summer, he's able to say, my beloved child. We need this relationship because my family is taking a step of faith and so are you. And we need prayer. And I don't know what vibe I'm giving off, but I'm really scared. My oldest daughter, when we first told them, she's like, but dad, what if nobody comes to the church? What if nobody serves in the children's ministry? What if we run out of money? What if we have no friends? I'm like, yeah, all my deepest, darkest fears. Thank you, sweetie. So I'm freaked out. We need your prayer. But many of you have been praying in Reality Stockton, praying in Reality San Francisco, praying in Reality Boston. And I know it's a season and mixed emotions, and I'm just praying that we come to the place where we would just pray through this together. We don't like change. I don't really like change that much, but remember, change happens in life. The key issue is how we respond to change. And what I've realized is this: transition becomes an opportunity for transformation. Why? Because in those times of change, you have to evaluate your foundation. Like, what is this built on? You have to evaluate your direction. Where am I headed? You have to evaluate your commitment. Are you all in? We can't just maintain, but we have to ask ourselves these questions. Like, am I all in for God's purposes for my life? Nobody else can make that decision for you. The community can help you discern, point you to scripture. We can pray together, but you have to make that choice. But thankfully, this text that I even read earlier shows us what we all have for this season: grace, mercy, and peace. God's unmerited favor, his mercy for when we screw it up, and his peace through it all. So I want you to ask the question, what does it mean for me to be faithful with the years that God has given me? One of my favorite random verses in Acts chapter 13, you know, you have like a random verse list that you love. Paul is preaching a sermon and he talks about King David, and he says, David, after he served the purposes of God in his own generation, fell asleep. And that's what I'm asking, like, God, what purposes do you have for me? And for the last 10 years, it has been planting and establishing and pastoring and preaching in Reality LA. I've made so many mistakes in doing it. I could barely preach a sermon 10 years ago. Just ask my father-in-law who was here. But now we believe being faithful means having gone through this prayerful process to take this step of faith. And I'm calling you to listen and to be faithful with what God's call is for you and the role that he's given you wherever he would call you. This is a time to press deep into prayer, deep into the word, deep into community. Because if you've been called to something, you've been entrusted with something, and you must seek to be faithful with it. So how had Paul been made an apostle? By the will of God. Why? For the gospel, he says. For the gospel which brings life. Friends, it is so important that each one of us, we grasp the importance of this for ourselves so that we might get the gospel out, so that others might have life. And we have an opportunity to talk about that through this summer. And we wrestle with that. But do you not know that you belong to Christ? When I first got saved, I was like, okay, if Christ died for me, then I belong to him. I belong to him. So I need a vision for what he wants for my life. God, what is it that you want to do? Jonathan Edwards, who's one of the greatest theologians of a couple hundred years ago, said this quote. He said, the obligation of every generation is to understand what God is doing and then do it together with him. And you and I need to understand what it is that God is doing, and let's do it. Are we all in? Paul says in Philippians 3:12, he said, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. This is what it's all about. If Jesus Christ saved you, if God sent his son to die, live for you, die for you, rise again for you, then I want to lay hold of that for which God wants a hold of me, and I want the same for you. I want you to lay hold of that, even today, asking God, God, what is it that you want for me? Because I want to lay hold of that. The future plan is not always clear, but know this, as my friend always reminds me, we don't have a map, we have a guide. And our guide is Jesus, leading by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm calling you to press in and press on. I want this to be a season of prayer, crying out for God to lead us, to guide us, to provide for us. I want you to be who you are. You're the bride of Christ. You're the body of Christ. Paul calls the church the pillar of truth. You are God's special possession. That's who you are. Our church is not about particular leaders or styles. It's about Jesus. And that is the posture I want us to take in this season. So in response to his grace, may we just offer ourselves to him. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm calling you to do. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would willingly, right now, say yes to whatever it is that you are desiring to do, what you will to do in our lives, that we would say yes. It may be that for some of us, there's a resistance in our hearts. We have everything planned out nicely and neatly. But God, I pray that you would stir us up, that we would right now say, God, I'm all in. You've given everything for me. I'm all in. And Father, you're so faithful to guide us, correct us when we go off, Lord, the track. You're so gracious to give us the power and direction we need. And Lord, for many people that would be continuing to do what you've already called them to do with a renewed vigor and strength. Father, for those who don't know you here, I pray right now that they would recognize that you are the reason that they exist, why they're here, and their purpose is to know you and to follow you. And they're separated from you because of sin, but you sent your son Jesus to bridge that gap through dying on the cross in their place so that they might believe and have life. And right now, God, I pray that they would put their faith and trust in you. And I pray for us as a church that we would just yield ourselves to you. That we'd yield ourselves to you. Lord, if there's fear in our hearts, I pray that you'd replace it with courage. Lord, if there's reluctance, I pray that you'd replace it with willingness. That we would simply ask, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? How is it that you want me to be faithful? Lord, we just long to hear when we breathe our last those words from you, well done, my good and faithful servant. So would you grant us your grace by the power of your Spirit to lead us in that path, so that we might follow you in all that you call us to do. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.